on one. He's like, gimme, 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 gimme. First time you sounding like a rapper, you're like, gimme, gimme. The second time you sound like a like you about to put on that website I was talking about. You're like, gimme, gimme. Stop that. Go. Go sit down, man. Oh man, it's great, it's great. Well, I'm glad to be in the 0.200.6859% of the black males now in Hawaii, you know, so got off the plane, and man, I'm serious, man. And they don't look at you funny out here, though, so it's cool, you know. I was at a youth camp in North Carolina 2 years ago, and no lie, I was the only black person within like 1,000 miles. I'm serious. Took a picture of me, and they put me up like at a county and stuff, and people are taking pictures of me, man. I felt like a celebrity, you know. And, you know, people hiding their kids and all that. Hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your husband. They hiding all kinds of people. And I said, it's like, how you dealing with a preacher this week? Oh, my goodness, you're the preacher this week. Oh, my goodness. And you know, whatever, man. I had a good time, but. Hey, thank you for letting me come and be with you guys. I really appreciate it. Appreciate that too, brother. I appreciate that, all right? All right. And, man, I thank you for letting me come and to be with you guys. And already I've enjoyed your enthusiasm. I enjoyed your spirit. And getting to see you guys play out there and to be able to toss football with a couple of you guys. And I appreciate you. Thank you for being respectful to your spiritual leaders. And also for extending your hand of welcome. And listen. I really have a heart for teenagers. I remember, obviously, any youth speaker you're going to have come to, you're going to tell you. I remember being where you're at. I remember all that. But it's true. It was only a couple years ago, not too long ago, that I sat where you're sitting right now and really just had all kinds of doubts in my heart, had insecurities, had hurts, pains, all these issues going on. I'm telling you that things that it's just hard to talk about when you're a young person. I mean, it's hard. And like, you're not listening to somebody preach that had it all together, nor has it all together. I'm on the same level as you. I'm just trying to be more like Jesus. I'm just trying to do right. I'm just trying to be holy. I'm just trying to be pure. I'm trying to read the Bible. I'm trying to pray. And I want everybody to know about Christ. That's basically where I'm at. But, man, I grew up in a broken home in Long Beach, California. My father left my mother when I was 11 years old. And I have at the time, I had a 2-year-old sister. And so it was me, my mom, and my sister. We're growing up just on our own. And my mom worked 12-hour shifts. She used to get in at 7 in the morning, so she'd leave the house at 6. And she'd get in at 7. She'd take the bus, and then she'd get out at 7. So she'd get home about 7:45. And that was my life. I mean, that was just my life as far as I could remember. I mean, my mom just worked 12-hour shifts, and she worked Monday through Friday, and she was off on the weekends. And, man, she just worked and worked and worked. And I don't know why I'm starting off the camp like this. I feel like God wants me to tell you guys these things, so I'm just going to tell you, all right? And so when my father left, my mother wanted to reconcile with my father. She wanted to get back together so we can be a family. And so we sold everything that we had in the apartment. We had a couch. We had one of those big box RCA TVs. We had a fridge and a stove. She managed to sell it all, and she bought tickets for us three. About $1,000 for 3 one-way tickets. We flew to Louisiana. That's where my dad's from. He's from Louisiana. Yes, he is black. My mother's from El Salvador, okay? And so that's why I speak Spanish. Believe it or not, I speak Spanish just the way it is, baby. All right? I speak Spanish, all right? And I'm the Spanish pastor at Liberty. Anyways, back to the story. And so we got there, and man, long story short, after 3 months, my father refused to reconcile with my mom. And I remember watching my mom cry on Christmas Eve. I remember my mom was crying. I said, Mom, why are you crying? I was 11 years old. I was just a little dumb kid, you know. And I said, Mom, what are you crying for? And she says, Daddy's not going to come back home. And I remember thinking, yeah, I know that's why he left, you know. Like, I know he's not coming back home. But it broke my mother's heart. In February that year, the next year, my grandmother actually bought us the tickets to fly back to California. Now, when we flew back, we had nowhere to stay. I'm not kidding you, man. I'm not trying to tell you something to get your heart or anything. I'm just being transparent. I'm being honest. We had nowhere to stay. And so we were homeless for 2 weeks. Luckily, after 2 weeks, my mother's friend, her name is Socorro Lopez. I'm telling you, I speak Spanish. Socorro's from Michoacan, Mexico. And she said, I got a little trailer in the back of where I live. You guys can stay there for about a month. But after a month, I have family coming in from Mexico. I hope that you have somewhere to live. And so we stayed in the back of someone's house in a small trailer. I'm talking about a single wide. We had a bucket outside to use the restroom. My mom got a job cooking in a convalescent home. That's a retirement home. We got a lot of old people. She just cooked there, okay? And one of the ladies that was a co-worker, she told her about the place where she was living, and she says, I know the owner. I'm going to tell him your story and see if he's able to, you know, give you a break or whatever. She tells the owner, he says, I want this family to move in, but I want you to tell them that I'm going to give them the first month free, okay? They don't have to worry about deposit or even paying the first month. I'm going to give them a first month free. She can get back on her feet. So we moved in to East 52nd Street, 27 and a half B. You say, why is it half? Because we literally lived on top of a garage. We were on top of a garage, and it was slanted. So when you walked in, you had to, like, duck in, you know, the roof a little bit. And it was a studio. I mean, it was just wide open and a little restroom over here, okay? And so we had a, we managed to get a big queen bed, and we all slept on that bed, okay? And then we lived there for about 6 months. And about 6 months, someone came knocking on my door. It was a guy, he was maybe about 5'9", he was about 240, maybe 230 pounds. He was bald, he had glasses, and he was white. You say, why do you emphasize he was white? Because we lived in an all-black and Latino and Samoan neighborhood. It was only Samoans, Latinos, and blacks that lived in our neighborhood. So somebody white showed up to the door, you thought it was the police or something like that. You see what I'm saying? So I'm like, nope, not interested. Not interested in the police, you know what I mean? Okay, give me. And so the police showed up, and then, not the police, but his name is Dave Bordeaux, and he says, hey, young man, what's your name? And I was like, Sammy. He's like, we're running a bus route around us. And I said, a bus route? What is that? I was like, what you mean, a bus route? What is a bus route? What is that? He goes, oh, we basically pick up kids and we take them to church. And I was like, well, church? And I was like, okay. You know, I'm 11. I don't even know what church is. I mean, I'm just so far out. I don't even know what church is. And I said, well, what's church? Like, what do you mean church? He said, yeah, we take you to the bus, we take you to church, and we talk to you about God. And when he said God, my heart started pounding hard. I got angry. Because I didn't believe in God. I shut the door on him. He came back the next week. Opened the window, I was like, man, what's this guy doing here again? Man, dude, man, you bugging me, bro, man, you bugging me. He's like, what? He says, man, you need to go to church. And I said, I don't believe in God, man. He says, man, you are only 11 years old. How do you say you don't believe in God? I said, man, listen, if there was a God, then why is my father gone? Tell me. If there's a God, then why are we poor? There's a God, then why would we be homeless for 2 weeks? Like, if there's a God, like, I mean, what are you talking about? And I shut the door. He kept coming next week. This time he was with my boy. My boy Jamal, he was like 6 feet tall. He was one of those guys that were lanky and could dunk the basketball. He was in seventh grade, man. No lie, man. He was a baller, bro. Showed up with Jamal. Jamal said, Sammy, don't close the door. I said, why? What's wrong, man? I don't want to go to church. Says, but listen, this Sunday, we're having hot dog Sunday, bro. So, when he said hot dog Sunday, I was like, hold on, bro. So you telling me that we're going to go to church and they're going to give me a hot dog? He said, yeah, bro, they're going to give me a hot dog. All of us getting a hot dog. I mean, he had my boy Tomasi with him. He had Dietrich with him. He had Sam Reynoso down the street. The whole crew showed up. My crew. The whole crew showed up. Like, hey, we getting hot dogs tomorrow, bro. You better get on the bus. We getting hot dogs, bro. Give me. I said, we getting hot dogs. So I went. I showed up to church the next day, man. No lie. I showed up to church the next day, and they gave me a hot dog. Got on the bus. They gave me another hot dog. When I was getting off, I hit a kid in the side of the head, and I said, give me your hot dog. I had three hot dogs that day, man, no lie. I was a fool, bro. I had three hot dogs that day. Three! Like, I had two bowls of that Portuguese soup, too. I don't care. And a piece of cornbread after it was done. Listen, since that time, you know what's crazy? I've not missed a single Sunday since that time. Now listen, here's what happened. I'm going to tell y'all what happened. I went to church. Sunday school teacher, 6'4", size 16 shoe. His name was Meck Langston. He passed away 6 years ago. He was a Marine DI, drill instructor. but he was my Sunday school teacher. 6'4", 280 pounds, size 16 shoe. You didn't mess with Brother Mac. At the end of the service, Brother Mac would say, "Listen up, boys, listen up, boys." I think he was from Texas or whatever. Listen up, boys." It's a deep voice. He may have been John Wayne, too. I don't know. He said, "I want you guys to know something." He says, "Jesus loves you. All right, bye. See you next week." When he said those words, I thought, man, nah. There's no way Jesus could love me, man. He only knew who I am, man. See, I've gone through all this crazy stuff. I done seen some crazy things, man. I've been with some crazy people. My family's crazy. I don't even know my dad. My dad left me. Like, why would you leave me? You know, I'm your son. It broke my heart. Every week I'd come to church, and he would say, "All right, boys." And I'd be sitting in the back. I was quiet. But I always had my wheels turning in the back of my mind. I was like that. I always knew what was going on. I was quiet, but I just chilled in the back. I said, "Yeah, he's about to say that." He'd say, "Jesus loves you." That's what he'd say, "Jesus loves you." After the third week I'd gone to church, somebody gave me a tape. And the name of the tape, no tape that you scotch up or put your books on. This old school tape. You guys know what tapes are? Remember old school? Okay, all right, good. Somebody gave me a tape. And the title of the message on that tape was a preaching tape. It was called, "Is There a Hell?" And I put on that tape like once a day. I get home, and I like hearing this guy scream, "Hell is longer than 10 seconds. Oh, the Holy Ghost hit me. Give me. Hell is longer than 10 minutes. Hell is longer than 10 hours. Hell is longer than 10 days. Hell is longer than 10 weeks. Hell is longer than 10 months. Hell is longer than 10 years. Hell is longer than 10,000 years. Hell is longer than 10 million years." I remember him preaching. He was preaching hard. "A Baptist ring won't take you to heaven. A Catholic ring won't take you to heaven. A Nazarene ring won't take you to heaven. The church won't take you to heaven. This pastor won't take you to heaven. Only Jesus will take you to heaven. If you die, you go straight to hell." And he's preaching, man. About memorize the tape. One day, I was in my room. This is like 6 months. It was a tough case for me. I'm telling you, I wasn't going to believe anybody loved me, not after what we've been through. But after about 6 months of going to church, he would say, "Jesus loves you." Listen to the hell tape. "Jesus love you." Hell, Jesus, hell. One day, it dawned on me that the reason that Jesus loved me so much is so that I would not, I put them together, is so that I would not go to hell. I remember being in my room and thinking, wait a minute. So the guy at church tells me that Jesus loves me and that he died for me on the cross. And this guy on the preaching tape is telling me about hell. And if I don't accept Christ, I will go to hell. Right there for the first moment of my whole life, as an 11-year-old, brokenhearted, bitter, insecure, had all kinds of issues, but the Holy Spirit showed up in my room that day. And here's what the Holy Spirit says. He says, "I do love you. Jesus died for you on the cross. If you don't accept me, you will go straight to hell when you die." And so I knelt down. You know, I didn't pray a sinner's prayer. "Dear God, forgive me my sin," all that. I didn't even know what the sinner's prayer was. But you know what I did when I knelt down? I told God, I said, "God, if you're real, God, if you love me, God, if you really care, then I want you to come right now and I want you to stay with me until the day that I die. I need somebody to guide me. I need somebody to lean on. I need a father. I don't have a father. I need somebody to take me out of this terrible situation. I need somebody to help my mama as she works and as she takes the bus. Give her her license. Get her a car. Help us move out of this garbage hole that we live in. God, if you're real, then I'm going to give you one shot. You come right now and stay with me until the day that I die." Can I tell you, at that very moment, as I knelt down on my knees, at that precise moment, I know that the Spirit of God came to live within my heart. I know that God showed up right when I need him, the time when I was most hopeless, the time when I was insecure, the time when I was broke, the time when I was lonely, the time when I was friendless, the time when I needed somebody to have my back. I needed somebody that I can fall back on. I know at that precise moment, that Jesus showed up in my life right at that moment. Can I ask you a question? Look at me. Have you had that moment? Turn your Bible to Mark chapter number 10. I want you to see it. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. Look at verse number 20 and 21. Mark chapter number 10 and verse 20 and 21. Mark chapter number 10 and verse 20 and 21. Are you there? Are you there? No? If you're there, say, gimme, gimme. All right, here we go. Mark chapter 10, look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Verse 21, read it with me tonight, all right? Verse 21, ready? Begin. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. I want you to put at the top of your page, don't miss this, top of your page, I want you to put this. You are missing one thing. You're missing one thing. Right there in your notes, you're missing one thing. Boy, I love the smell of brownies in the air, don't you? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Take out a black church tonight on them brownies. Thank you. All right, so Mark 10. There you go, sister. I'm talking about. I can get that sister right there. I like that. You're missing one thing. Hey, give me attention for about 25 minutes, 20 minutes. And we'll eat some brownies, all right? Let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, just for a few moments now tonight, I know that a lot of preparation has been done today. I know that these young people, man, they're full of energy, but I think they're getting ready to get a little bit tired, and we're gonna have some brownies and mess around for a little bit, go to bed and all that, have a good time at camp. Thank you, God, for all of the beautiful people of Kauai Baptist Church that have pitched in to make this week possible. Thank you, God, for the youth pastor, Brother Ali, and his beautiful wife and children that are here. Thank you, God, for Sister Susie, that the so servant. She mopped the floor today. And Lord, thank you for Pastor Gross, God, and all the things that the young people have done today just to make this possible. Lord, we don't want to have camp. We don't want to have these songs. I don't want to preach or teach. We don't want to have these specials or all this fellowship. We don't want to have everything besides you. We want to ask you, Lord, that you would meet with us in a very beautiful way, God. I know I need you. I didn't come, Lord, this week to waste anybody's time or to waste anybody's money. Lord, please use me, God, in a very influential way for the cause of Christ, not for the boasting of man, not to impress, but to make an impact. So is the theme, Lord, of this camp. God, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Here it is. First of all, I want you to write down number one. Write it down. I just skipped the introduction because I gave you a little bit of my testimony. Number one, I want you to write down his personality. Write it down. His personality. You'll find this in verse number 17. Mark chapter 10 in verse number 17. Now listen, as I preach, I need you to follow along in the Bible, okay? We're going to preach mostly a lot of Bible and expositorily go through it, and I want you to follow along with me, okay? Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17. What's the first point? Talk to me. What is it? His personality. Look what the Bible says in verse 17. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. The Bible says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, I want you to see this young man. The Bible says in three different gospels that he's a rich, young ruler. Here's this young man who is a rich, young ruler. So he's rich, that means he's got money. He's a ruler, that means he's got power. And the Bible says that he's young, that means he has life. So here it is. Here's a rich young ruler, and the Bible says he comes running and he kneels before Jesus. I want you to understand that this is the kind of young man that, man, mamas would say, I want my girl to marry that boy. That boy, that rich, young, handsome looking dude down there, he's got a job, he's got a Jaguar, he's got a home to live in. I mean, he's a rich guy. He's a handsome guy. He's got it together. I mean, listen, if you're rich and if you're young and if you're a ruler, I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, seriously, he's got all kinds of things going for him. He's come out of a good home. He doesn't live in the ghetto. He lives with the aristocrats up on the hills, man, overlooking the ocean. This guy's got it together. Now, I want you to see his personality. The Bible says that he comes running to Jesus. He doesn't come walking, but he comes running to Jesus. Do you see his urgency? You see him? He comes running to Jesus. Now, listen. Then after he runs to Jesus, what does the Bible say? He kneels before him. Do you see that? And so his personality, he's a respectful young man. He's got respect for Jesus Christ. He runs right to him. He's got urgency. He's got humility. He's got sincerity. He says, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He asked the right question to the right person. Now look at me, look at me. Most of us have questions we got to ask. I got some questions for the Lord when I was younger. I had no idea what was going on in my life. I wanted God to explain some things to me. Not disrespectfully, but I wanted to know, Lord, what's going on in my life? What is going on? This thing is crazy. I want to know about this situation. I want to know about this person. I want to know about my future. Perhaps you're sitting out here in the congregation, here in this place, and you're thinking, man, I got some questions for the Lord. I want God to answer me some questions. Now, that's a good thing, because God has the answers. But listen, look at me. Listen, his personality was one of urgency. He came running to Jesus, and when he ran to Jesus, he fell down. Can I just say, that's a good place to be. You say, I got problems in my life. Well, you don't need to run to your friends. I got problems in my life. You don't need to run to necessarily your parents. I got problems in my life. You don't need to run to anybody. The only person that can solve them and that can really help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to develop a relationship with this book. You got to develop a prayer life. You got to come running to Jesus, and then you got to kneel before him and say, Lord, I'm here in humility. I'm here, God, and I'm falling before your feet. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. The Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, watch this, every knee should bow. Three geographical locations, and things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now look at teenager, it's a good place and it's a good thing in your life if you say, I recognize that Jesus is Lord. I recognize that Christ is Lord. Kanye West, he's not Lord. Beyonce, she is not Lord. All these different groups in the world, they're not lords. Donald Trump, he's definitely not the Lord. Now listen, there's only one God. And listen, the Bible says that the demons believe and they tremble. Can I just tell you, when we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have believed in the King of all kings. We have believed in the Lord of all lords. We have believed in the name of the Creator. He spoke the worlds into existence. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. We're talking about Jesus Christ. This cat was respectful. You see his personality. Number two, I want you to write it down. Now, would you notice his priorities? Number two, his priorities. You'll see this in verse number 19 and 20. And so he has a dialogue with Jesus. Jesus now has a conversation, and he's speaking to him. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. Mark 10 and verse number 19. The Bible says, thou knowest the commandments. What commandments is Jesus talking about? Listen, what commandments is Jesus talking about in verse 19? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. Somebody raise your hand. Who's got it? Yes, sir. What commandments is he talking about? The Ten Commandments out of Exodus 20. So in verse 19, Jesus tells the young man, you know the commandments, right? He's like, yeah, yes, sir. What is Jesus saying? You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. In verse 20, look what the Bible says in verse 20. Look at the Bible. Look what it says in verse 20. Look what it says. He says, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my... Talk to me. You know what he's saying? Man, I grew up in Sunday school. I know about David and Goliath. Duh, Jesus. Hey, you know the commandments? Don't commit adultery. He says, I never done that. You know that commandment, don't steal? I never done that. You know that commandment, don't kill? I never killed anybody. He's starting to feel a little bit good about himself now. He's like, hey, I'm pretty good, man. I mean, I've got this down. Yeah, Jesus just mentioned everything that I already do. Everything that you mentioned, Jesus, I already do. I go to Sunday school. I sit teen camp. I read my Bible at home. I know what you're talking about. I got this thing down packed. I know exactly what you're talking about, Jesus. And Jesus says, okay. Now, if you notice the Ten Commandments, Jesus only mentions about five or six of them. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't mention the top half of the commandments. Do you see that? He only mentions the bottom half. Now, the top half of the commandments, look at me, those have to do directly with God. Those are spiritual. Those first top five, they have to do with God. Thou shalt make no graven image unto it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. You know what I'm talking about? Those are those top five commandments. Now, this young man, he's thinking, everything that has to do with everybody I see, the humans, I please everybody. And that thing don't kill anybody, okay? I please everybody. Hey, if you talk to my parents, hey, I'm cool. If you talk to my youth pastor, hey, man, I'm doing it all right. If you talk to my friends, they'll tell you I'm a cool person. I'm all right. As a young person, I used to think, man, if I could just act right, then people will think that I am right. If I can just act the part, then maybe people will think, man, this kid's all right. But a sad day in Colorado when those two boys, Dylan Clybove, and I forgot the name of the other one, after listening to acid rock, after listening to AC/DC, after painting horrific pictures, having their stuff underneath their beds. Their parents came in and found all kinds of journals. They found pictures of people decapitated and limbs everywhere, guns. They dressed up in black jackets. They came in with semi-automatic weapons. They came into Columbine High School, and they shot everybody they could inside. One particular girl who they told, are you a Christian? Yes. If you recant, if you say you're not a Christian, we'll let you live. I can't. Boom, they shot her underneath the desk. You'll find the videos all over the place. These two boys shot up everybody. I wonder if people thought, those guys are okay. They're all right. They had some internal issues. Can you look at me? What about your heart? What about your heart? What about the things that only God knows about you? I'm not talking about your pastor or youth pastor, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your aunts and uncles, your best friends. I ain't talking about them. Look at me. I'm talking about what about what's in your heart that only God knows about. This young man, his priority was way off. He was too busy trying to please people, too busy trying to fit into the crowd, too busy trying to be accepted. Are we not like this sometimes? Am I the only one that falls prey to the stuff like this? Change the way that I talk so somebody can accept me. Let me change the way that I dress so maybe I'll have some other friends. Let me change the way that I do entertainment because I don't want somebody to think I'm a weirdo or something. The young man was like this. He said, Jesus, of course, man, you know. Now, I want you to see, number three, his possessions. Write it down, please. His possessions. You guys did a great job listening. Only have one more point and I'm done. Look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Mark chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. I'll read verse number 21, and I'll ask that you would please read verse number 22 with me, okay? Verse 21, the Bible says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me. Now here it is. Look what the Bible says in verse number 22. Are you there, verse 22? Let's all read it together, okay? Nice and loud. Here we go, nice and strong. Ready, begin. And he was sad at that saying. Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me that you come running to Jesus, that you kneeled before him, he told you what to do? This is a great thing. I would think, man, Jesus told me what to do. Yes, I have the answer. Yes, I have the answer to my equation. Jesus told me exactly what to do. You would think that the immediate verse would say, then the young man obeyed the voice of the Lord. Don't you think that's what the Bible should have said right there? In my opinion, I would think, if Jesus told you what to do, you figured it out, he told you, you would say, duh, Jesus told me to do that. Yeah, yes, Lord. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this cat got sad. Wait a minute. Time out. So God told you what to do, and you got sad? That doesn't make any sense to me. That's one of those, like, when you, like, tap your friend and, like, hey, just, are you dumb? Like, that's one of those times when you look at your friend, you're like, hey, you just call him in private, you know. You don't put him on blast for everybody. You just call him in private and say, hey, are you dumb? Like, I just want to know, like, are you right up here? Because he's telling you to do this, and then this is what's going to happen. You wanted this, right? You wanted this, right? Yes? I want eternal life, right? That's what he's saying. That's what he came. Master, tell me how I can go to heaven when I die. Tell me how I can live forever. Tell me, because I'm trying to figure this out. You tell me, Lord, and whatever you tell me to do, that's exactly what I'm fencing to do. No. He tells you, sell everything you have, give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. The Bible says he was sad. Now, somebody raise your hand and tell me, why was he sad? Besides you, you got all the answers. You're straight A's at school. Praise God. What? Just kidding. All right, right there. Because he had what?
Great possessions.
He had great possessions. Time. Think about this. Let's use our minds for a little bit. Is it wrong to have great possessions? Is it? No, right? It's not wrong to have great possessions, right? Think with me. Y'all smart. You're smarter than I am. Is it wrong to have great possessions? Yes or no?
No.
You know why I know that? Because in John chapter 3, Jesus talks to another rich guy. Super rich guy. Got money. He's a ruler in a synagogue. He's a rabbi. Folks bow down to him. He's a teacher. He's got money. I'm telling you, he got money. You know what his name is? Nicodemus. Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus, hey, Nick, I want you to sell all your possessions, take your cross and follow me. He didn't tell him that. So why? Look at me. Why would he tell this rich young ruler? You know why? Because his possessions greatly possessed him. It's a major difference. There ain't nothing wrong with possessions as long as they don't, look at me, as long as they don't possess you. There's a lot of people in the world living for possessions. The Bible says that the root of all evil is the what? The love
of money. Not money, but the love of it. Well, if I could just get some more money, if I could just accumulate some more things, if I could just be popular, if I could be rich, if I could be famous, if I could be a celebrity and have people cheer my name and clap when I walk into a place, if people could just admire me, if I can have money, then money will fix all my problems. If I can have boats, if I can have houses, if I can have cars, if I can have girls, if I can have guys, if I can have all this jewelry and mad money, then that'll fix my problems. The answer is no, it will not fix your problems. No. Lindsay Lohan, she's got money. Britney Spears shaving her head, she had money. Michael Jackson, he's dead. Unless he got saved, he's burning in hell tonight. I take no pleasure in saying that, but Michael Jackson had money. Here this rich guy, he walks away. He's like, whoa, Jesus, what you talking to? Whoa, sell everything that I got? Are you tripping? You lost your mind, Jesus? You want me to sell everything that I got, everything? Then you want me to take up a cross and follow you? You can have eternal life. One of the saddest statements in the Bible is that he turned away, sad at what Jesus told him. Look at me. I wonder how many of you this week God will speak to you about leaving something behind and following him. I wonder how many teenagers in this room will say, God spoke to me, yeah. But I'm just not willing to leave this behind, Brother Sammy. Pastor, I had a good time at camp. Man, I'm so glad I came. But I'm just not willing to take this step. I'm not willing to leave this behind. You put the possession there. I'm not going to give you any illustrations of possession. Just whatever is holding some of you back from following Jesus. Look at me. There's nothing that is worth having that will cause me to stop following Jesus. There is nothing in this world. There's not a dollar. There's not a woman. There's not a child. There ain't nothing, not a position, not anywhere I could go. Listen to me. There is nothing by the grace of God I believe that could stop me from following Jesus besides my pride, besides my evil concupiscence, my desire to hold on to possessions, to have money, to be popular. Hey, I just want to say, young person, for the last 10 years of my life, I've been in full-time Christian ministry, not because I deserve it, because of the grace of God, and the last 10 years of my life have been the best 10 years of my life. Why? Because I spent it trying to live and serve the Creator, my Savior, my best friend, Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's why it's been the best time of my life. Now, let me just tell you, look at me. That rich cat, he walked away sad. Somebody give me point number one. What is it? Number one, it's what? Personality. Number two, talk to me. Number three, talk to me. Number four, talk to me. You don't know. Here's what I want you to write down, and I'm done. This is one of the most beautiful things about this story right here. Listen, don't miss it. Write this down. His possibilities. Write it down. His possibilities. Look at this contour as this story continues. Look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says in verse number 26. Look what the Bible says in verse number 26. Mark 10 and verse 26. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 26. And I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to stop on these last two verses. Listen, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Mark 10 and verse number 26. Are you with me? Are you with me still? All right, here we go. Verse 26. The Bible says, and they were astonished. What's a synonym of astonished? Amazed, surprised, bewildered. I don't know, bewildered is a stretch. All right, here we go. They was astonished out of measure. And look what these cats are saying to each other. These disciples are saying among themselves. Here's the question. Who then can be saved? You know what the disciples are saying? They're saying Jesus. Who's going to leave everything that they have behind to follow you? Who's going to leave their mama? Who's going to leave their daddy? Who's going to leave their job?
Who's going to leave the things that they like to follow you? That's impossible, man. I don't understand that. Like, and Jesus saying, listen, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And then they start scratching their heads and thinking, man, who can be saved? Like, what if he says? In verse number 27, Jesus gives them the answer. Look at it. Verse 27, he says, and Jesus looking upon them saith, read the words that are next. All right, ready? Begin. With man it is but for with God, listen, all things are what?
Possible.
Do you see that? Time out. I'm done. We're going to eat some brownies. Check it out. Listen. You know what Jesus told them? He says, what you guys don't even understand, and you guys have been with me. When I say you guys, I'm talking about disciples. Disciples, you've been with me? You guys don't even understand this yet. No wonder the rich can't understand. He ain't been with me. But listen. What Jesus is saying is that with him, anything is possible. Anything. They're like, what? Run that one more time. All right, John. Come here, John. Sit down right here. Peter, you're a knucklehead. Come sit right here. Thomas, come over here. Sit with me. Matthew, Bartholomew, come sit with me over here, okay? James, come sit with me. So Jesus gets them together, and he says, listen, I'm going to tell you one more time. They're like, man, you're making me uncomfortable, man. It's awkward. I don't care. Look at me. With man, this is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Now, do you understand that? Wait a minute. Do you understand that? Think about that for a little bit. All things are possible with God. All things. Think about your life. Think about your situation. All things are possible with God. All things. That means God has no limit. He has no limit. I was in a youth camp in New Jersey 4 weeks ago. And at the end of the service, one of the nights, a young lady came to me. She was crying. She's 16 years old. And here's what she asked me. She says, do you really think that God could help me and use me and maybe I could have a different life than I'm living in? She was crying. And I said, well, tell me a story. Here's what she said. She says, almost every other night, my dad comes into my house, and he's drunk. He gets off of work, and he goes drinking at the bar with his friends. He comes home late. He beats my mother. I have to pull him off of her. I'm crying. He doesn't hit me, but that's my life. It's almost every other day. My dad gets drunk. He comes home, I hear him, throws my mother on the couch, she's screaming for help, he starts to hit her, I run in, and I have to pull my dad off of my mom. I hide underneath the bed, as I hear him come in, sometimes screaming my name, I know he's not going to hit me because he tells me that I'm his baby, la la la, but that's my life for the last year. I go to church every week, nobody knows it, but that's my life. Do you think that God can turn this around for me? You know where I took her in the Bible? Mark chapter 10, verse 27. With man, these things are impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Can I tell you this? Look at me. Don't miss this. Whatever you think is impossible for God, it's not. Whatever you think is impossible for God, it's not. So I grew up going to church on a bus route. My mother started riding to church. Started attending Christian school. I go to Bible college. I struggled big time. I managed to graduate. I went back to the home church where I was saved and worked there for almost 6 years. By the way, when I went home to my home church, there was another young lady that started riding the buses.
Her name was Eliana. We got married a year later. God's given us 4 children. Both of us, Eliana was raised by her grandmother. Her grandmother. Both of us came from terrible situations. Both of us. Look at me. But now when I go home, I don't have a broken home anymore. Now when I go home, those kids have a father. Now when I go home, those kids got a mother. Now when we go home, the rent's paid. There's food on the table. There ain't no fighting. There ain't no screaming. Can I tell you? Before, I used to think, man, really? Like, how do people even live that way? I thought that was just like a TV show life. But now, listen, now I got a little slice of heaven on earth. You know why? Because with man, it's impossible. But not with God. Look at me. Whatever situation you think God can't work out, God can work it out. You say, what about my situation? You think God can work it out? Absolutely. I have zero doubt. Zero doubt. If I had doubt that God can use you guys, I wouldn't even come this week. I don't care if it's why. If I had any doubt that God could use the teenagers at Kauai Baptist Church and other churches represented, I would not have showed up this week. If I had any doubt that God can take a young man and a young lady and raise them up and do the impossible in their lives, not for their glory, not for your praise, but for the grace of God and praise of God, I wouldn't even showed up this week. Trust me. I'm just like that. I'm going to say, nah, I'm not coming. I'm here because I wholeheartedly believe that God can use you, and God can use you, and God can use you, and God can use you. I'm going my crew back there. God can use you. God can use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. I don't know the situation, but I specialize in preaching and a God that likes to take messes and make the miracles so that when people look at your life, they can say, how did you turn out? How did you do that? How did you get through that? Why? Because I serve a God who specializes in the impossibilities. That's why. Now look at me, look at me, look at me. This young man, he went away. He did nothing. He sat. Can I ask you a question? Are you going to be like this young man? Or are you going to say, God, I don't know, man. This situation's terrible right now. But God says, listen, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Even Jesus had to be in the grave for 3 days. But on that third day, the sun broke, and the Son of Man was raised from the grave. He lives forevermore. Whatever situation you're in, don't be like this young man. Say, by God's grace, I'm going to take Jesus. I'm going to take Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, thank you for listening to the Word of God.